Hi, family. I'm Sylvia, and I'm an addict. And I would like to thank the committee for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope. Well, she told me don't cross the wires. I'm nervous. I'm sorry. My topic is doubt, fear, and faith. And I just kind of like want to touch on like my last year and a half, because my whole story is about doubt, fear, and faith. I was due to get married, and I didn't feel like the brother was ready. Thank you. And again, I'm nervous. But anyhow, it was a failed relationship for me. And in that process, I became homeless, car repossessed, and I just recently lost my mom. And I didn't think this program could work for me. And as I started to look back in hindsight, I didn't think this program could work for me. But I took a risk, and God saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. I didn't know how to live life on life terms. And I say that because I thought that life, I was taught early. I've been on my own since I was 14, so I was taught early, like my box would get me everything I needed. And when I came to this program, I practiced that behavior. I didn't want to grow up. I just wanted to stop using. So around here, I thought my box would get me everything. At some point, not of my own doing, that changed for me. And I wanted to become a woman, not a whore, not a slut, but a woman. I wanted to be like this pretty rose. I love roses. And I will wash them. They be tight at first, and then they start to open a little bit, and then they will open more, and then they was just beautiful, and they smelled beautiful. And I just wanted to be a rose. I didn't want to be with the stigma that people around here give us when we share where we come from, the whore. And I started like growing up in here, and it's a scary process, and I had to start challenging my fears. That means I had to start letting y'all know who I was and be able to deal. So just like in the last year, I could no longer use my box, because I had grown past that, you know what I mean? I started to grow up. You know, this room is really huge. I'm looking at this. This room is like really huge and big. I thought I was going to be like in some small room, you know what I mean? So anyhow, right, I need to say that, right? Because I'm like looking all around, man. So anyhow, you know, I was so determined to grow up and be this rose. So I stopped using my box. That means, like, when I looked in my closet and I have all these 200-plus pairs of shoes and I have all this gold and diamonds, I just have all this BS stuff. But me and my kids was homeless and we ain't got nothing to eat. And I accumulated all that stuff through my box. And for y'all don't know what I'm talking about, my box is my vagina, right? Got that whore stigma. And when I looked up, like, all that stuff could go. I was, like, sick of myself when I looked in my closet, and here we ain't had no food. And I got all these shoes, all this stuff that don't mean nothing, right? And I got to take all my jewelry to the pawn shop I gotta get something to eat for me and my kids. I'm a vegetarian. My kids eat everything, but I gotta conform back to eating everything because I can't feed them and me. Right? And I started renting this basement apartment in Germantown where I'm living like animalistic, right? I'm watching my behavior through this woman who's supposed to be my roommate, and I'm disgusted with myself that I know I don't have to ever go back to tricking no more because I'm watching it. I don't have to go back to, like, letting men touch me that I don't want to touch me no more. How about an uncircumcised penis? I don't have to never do none of that crazy nonsense stuff again. But I'm so scared, and I don't know no other way, but I gotta sit with the person I call my higher power and have the faith that he gonna bring me out of this. I can't pick the telephone up and, like, call Joe Blow and say, hey, you know, like, I'm suffering. My kids don't got nothing to eat. I ain't got no gas in my car. I would show up at meetings on E, and my friends knew I was struggling. I'm talking about the people who knew me. They would say, here, take this, because I think in my mind, I'm like this hellified woman, and how I look gonna get it done for me. But I don't operate off that no more, so I don't know. Doubt is uncertainty. I looked it up, right? And so I'm stuck with that doubt, like, God, you really got me? For real? Like, I can't use this. I can't even smile at a nigga because I feel so inadequate. I feel so bad about myself. I'm talking about 8 years clean coming up on the 9th year. Right. In the rooms of narcotics salons with niggas like, you fine? You got pretty legs? And all that stuff don't mean nothing when you're trying to grow up. And you sitting and you waiting on your higher power to continue to bless you. Yeah, right. So I started day after day not picking up the telephone, letting my friends help me, and relying on my higher power. I could not see like God was blessing me because I thought I was supposed to be here, but I was here. You know, I want to say like a cut under, not above, under. But I was being blessed. Like, I had shelter from the rain. My kids wasn't hungry no more because I went to work every day. I had a roof over my head. Well, 8 years clean, I had to consider it homeless because my name ain't on nothing, but I wasn't sleeping in a car. I wasn't degrading myself or my body by letting somebody go up in me I ain't want. It was blowing breath into my body every day, y'all, which gave me a choice to do the right thing and continue to wait on him to get better. Every day for a year and a half. Every day. That thing hurt like hell. Every day. You can't see your higher power. You only know that you've been down on your knees and say, help me. I need some daggone help, and I need it now. That's right. I come from a bomb, three-bedroom apartment to a basement, sleeping on a twin-size mattress on the floor, ants crawling, dogs pooping upstairs, pissing everywhere, and I got to clean that mess up because the roommate nasty. I gotta hold on. I gotta have some faith that it's gonna get better and better. I gotta know how to sit with Sylvia every day. Hard work, hard work. I don't care how many steps you done, hard work. So every day, man, like I get up and I do the right thing, right? I don't call Joe Blow. I know what Joe Blow gonna offer me, right? And I'm so kind, right? I might offer him something too. You know what I mean? I ain't been visiting no bars, post up with my legs crossed with my Newport 100, faking like I'm drinking to get his money. I ain't do none of that, right? Then my car had gotten repossessed. I'm on image time. How you do that to a fine woman like me? How you strip me of everything? Everything. And like my flaws come to the surface. I feel inadequate. But what hurts the most, I feel inadequate as a mother. Because I'm taking 3 kids with me. Right? And they say, well, you know, like, I want this. You can't have that. We on this budget and work from out of negative checking account balance. Because you know certain banks allow you to go into the negative. Right? They know your check coming called deposit or your payroll. And they know they're going to get their money. I'm talking about living like that for 5 months in the negative. When I finally do get my check, maybe have $100 or $200 left. I try to figure out how I'm going to budget and make that work. For 5 months, continuously did that. I'm talking about my ego and my image tell me I don't have to live like that. But for real, I do. I do. I need to know that I can make it and that this program works for me. And all that writing I do and all that gut stuff I tell and share with y'all, that everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to get better no matter what. And you can't use. What you mean? I can't use nobody. I can't shop because I'm broke. I can't use. I can't eat to my feelings because I'm vain. Right? I like looking good. I can't do nothing but rely on my higher power. I can't, man. Brother say you wanna go eat? No, thank you. Cause I'm confused about, is he trying to get with me? It's like a setup. I don't know. And because I'm so scared, because I'm not no whore no more. I'm a woman. So because I don't know, I decline the offers. My girlfriend says, so we going to eat. Okay, I'm going with y'all. Because I want to be a woman. Right? And so 3 weeks ago, I lose my mother.
That's right. I don't think they
know.
Say it again.
And, I can't use, and I gotta let people love me. I gotta let people, I don't even like half of y'all, hug me and tell me it's gonna be okay. I wanna be by myself. Y'all don't understand, and y'all damn pain, I don't care. And this not to hurt nobody's feelings because I'm not like that. I love y'all. But you don't know my damn pain. Please stop coming to me talking about I understand, because you don't. You don't understand my pain. My mother is dead. And I watched her suffer. And I'm grateful that God did what he did. He couldn't have done it soon enough for me, because I wouldn't have had her suffer as long. But she's still gone, y'all. That means she ain't gonna never give me a medallion. She ain't gonna never tell me how proud she is. Good God Almighty, she was proud of me too, y'all, by the way. I had 9 years clean before she died. And a hell of a thing was God kept her mind clear enough for her to tell me on her deathbed that she was proud of me and that she loved me. That's all I ever wanted from my mother, was to love me. Because I've been on my own since I was 14, so I didn't get what a lot of people got if you was a teenager that came up with your parents. I didn't get that. So I'm grateful. And again, I called an addict because I was in North Carolina in a place called Statesville, and I ain't know nobody, right? So, like, people was walking with me. Man, if you ain't got no kids will show you unconditional love. So, if you ain't got no kids, get involved with some kids, right? Because my children kept saying, it's okay. I love you, Mommy. I'm going with you. They hung in there with me. They's my ace. Believe me. I love my children. Right? Stuff sometimes feels so unbearable. It hurts. But I gotta rely on my God, my higher power, the faith. Right? I had no choice but to have some faith in the last year and a half. Just some faith. Right? So I called the addict and said, listen, I think I want to take me a drink. He said, yeah. Okay, come get me. And that was important for me to hear because I wouldn't dare take nobody out the doors with me. That mean I couldn't go. And I thanked them. You know what I mean? And I continued on my journey. And every day, y'all, I get up. I thank God I ain't used. And I know without any uncertainty, I'm in the best place I could have ever been. And in here, I get unconditional love no matter what. Right? I am so grateful. So grateful. Right? Like, I don't have no more doubts. I'm in the right place. I'm safe. The room got smaller, y'all. I'm tripping. Like, I'm in a room with a lot of addicts like me, right? I'm just here to tell a newcomer, I have 9 years clean. It's been an up battle. And I don't say it's been like a downfall. It's been an up battle because had I not continued to, like, sleep with niggas I ain't want to sleep with, I wouldn't have known to not stop sleeping with them. Right? And I had one lady told me, I was like complaining a lot in the meeting. She said, like, the same way you pull them down, the pain will get so great that you'll pull them up. Well, I'm here to report they up. Right. I want to tell a newcomer, keep doing what you do. And if you don't think you will change, keep doing what you do. Right. When I looked up through all that, like the death of my mom, being homeless, having a car repossessed, I got shelter. I have another car. I ain't gonna never have another mom, but a spirit lies with me. Right? And in me. And I'm grateful because my mother taught me how to plant flowers, cook food, and anybody that know me know that food is love. I cook, I cater, I do whatever for us with food, right? So all that stuff is love. So my mom lives within me, and I'm grateful that she taught me what she taught me. I'm back in a relationship with the guy I was going to marry, and he asked me to marry him again. That's my best friend. We talk about everything. This time it's right. It even feels right. Man, you talking about like a Chester cat smiling from ear to ear? Good God Almighty. Y'all be seeing me, I be smiling like I don't know what. Because I'm happy. I'm happy. The tears are from pain and from joy. I suppose that I'll go in and out about my mom. But if you see me, give me a hug. Don't compare your feelings or your mama's story. Just give me a hug. I need a hug. I do. I ain't talking about the lower back hug. I need to give some people definitions of how to hug me. Right? I ain't talking about all that slimy stuff. Y'all don't have boundaries. I have boundaries, and you are going to respect me. And if you can't get it together, I'll respect you at a later date. Keep your hug, right? I'm here to tell a newcomer that you can lose your home in here. You can lose your car in here. You can lose your mother in here. Don't use. I'm the evidence that you can make it in Narcotics Anonymous, that your doubt will become certainty, right? That your fear, you'll challenge it. And when you finally go through your process and find that higher power that we talk about, you'll have faith. Thanks for allowing me to share.
I'd like to thank Sylvia for leading us in a good share. And at this time, I'm presenting our second speaker, Tanya.
Tanya!
Recovering addict called Tanya. I like y'all and everything too, right? I more or less want to take a moment to be able to wrap my arms around this crowd because, see, I understand that I have to be vulnerable in order to get to the place that I need to get to. And when I walked in here today, I said, you know, God, I'm really not ready for this. I don't want to have to be vulnerable with so many people at once. And I would just prefer to have something small and intimate and don't make me stretch this far and don't ask me to talk about myself to the degree that I know I must in order to stay here a day at a time. I'm out of touch with this. And the reason that I say that I'm out of touch with this because my phone ain't been ringing as often as it used to be when people used to call me and they say, come share for us and come do this for us. And, you know, I would do that. But before I lose that thought, I'm from the Small Wonder area, Narcotics Anonymous, in Wilmington, Delaware. Steps to Recovery is my home group, 5:30 on Thursdays. Very good step meeting. I got women in my life that love me, and I'm being sponsored by somebody. It's very important. Something else I wanted to say, too. I wanted to thank Ms. Sylvia for sharing and Mr. Joe for inviting me, because, you know, I'll be messing up, right? I don't want to forget nothing. It's too important. I didn't really want to have to start talking about my right now story again, because I got one. And I understand that if you've been here for a while, being vulnerable at this point always takes more effort than when I didn't know nothing. But I got to tell it. I got to tell it, right? It's just no way around it. All right. So again, I'm a recovering addict called Tanya. You know, when you make a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God, a lot of stuff starts to happen. If you knew, you have to really pay attention to what I'm saying to you, because I really want to reach out to the old timers that have been here for a while that can hide in a meeting and sponsor people and, you know, do all of these different things that God sees us do, but we have to be able to keep it real. I gotta keep it real for y'all. I don't know. I battle more with fears and doubts today than I ever have in my recovery. It was so much easier when I didn't know nothing. The Creator demands an active change of ideals, attitudes, and behaviors in my life, and I really don't get to pick and choose what it is that I have to give up anymore. It's just not that easy. And guess what? Just for anybody who didn't know, I'm still just as willing as I've ever been to get better. If your story ain't changing, you really gonna have to try to work, find out like what's going on for real. Cause when I came into this process in September of 1990, I was married with 2.5 kids, a dog and all that, you know, a house and car, you know, all that. And in 3 years I separated because I had always been gay, but I never really, I figure if my mother could live through me vicariously, it'll be all right. And, you know, that really didn't work out because after I stopped smoking crack, I woke up. And if you was getting high the way that I was getting high, and when I had put down the drugs and the things started happening to me, that driving force that we talk about changes the form and shape in your life. You start to find out why you're really here, but you still don't have no concept of what's going on. You just ain't smoking coke no more. So you figure you hang on in there and see what's going to happen. This level of doubt and fear stayed with me a long time in the program because I had to walk away from everything that I had learned to build my worth around to find out who I really was. And it wasn't easy because y'all ain't like me in that and y'all ain't treat me good in that. And y'all was holding on to y'all women, too, in that. And I felt so all alone, and I didn't have anybody to turn to.
That's right.
They say that the power is long with us before we understand it. And it's a particular thing that needs to happen. So, you know, at this point, God really knew that I was still a bit arrogant and thought that I would be the God in my life. So, you know, he just kind of allowed me to kind of ramble along, making false decisions, creating insanity in local meetings, you know, taking people out of town because I knew it would beat me back so everybody could find out. So I would, you know, because I really lacked the courage to stand up for myself. So I figure if I create a whole lot of shit, we could just be over with by default. He'd be tired and, you know, he'd go. And that's what happened. And I paid. If you knew, you got to be talking with your sponsor about this. Because, see, my sponsor said that it basically is a defect of character and you really can get over this. Defect of wanting to be with somebody that's like you. So I spent a little bit of time in this program around 3.5 years without a sponsor till somebody came and rescued me. And I was angry and I was fearful and I doubted everybody who ever said they loved me and hugged me. Because you know we'll do that. But really, we waiting to see if you're going to leave. So I sat in the intensive care room, and I talked about the same thing every day till I found something else to talk about. And that's why I'm still here. And at some point, I couldn't be concerned about your children going to school with my kids and then your children telling my children's friends that I'm gay. But yet, because see, one thing about the power of faith is just because you did a thing to me and I have stuff to do to you, I don't got to do that.
That's right.
And even though I had all of this information about a lot of fucking people,
yeah,
I never took what I knew about somebody to try to hurt them the way that they hurt me and my kids. And I've been able to receive a lot of blessings from that. See, our program is about if you give up stuff that you think you're supposed to have, the universe and the creator place it with something that you should and supposed to have. But if you're not willing to take the risk to let something go to be able to see if it's going to be replaced by something else, then you will never know the full fruits of what this labor of love is all about. I'm just trying to tell you something. We is the bomb in here. You got to be able to give something up in the program in Narcotics Anonymous. God don't want the stuff you want to give up. He wants the stuff that you don't want to give him. So when I gave my children up and said that I can live a happier, joyful, freer life in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I paid for that. Because I was like, your father can come and get y'all, and y'all could go live across town with him. And I'm going on, because the grass is really green here, I'm looking at, you know, it's like the bomb, and I'm telling you, I'm in the, you know, I got to dream, I got to write, I got to create, I got to love, I got to be a manizer, I got to be all this old slick shit. And guess what? I sent them packing. They was babies, but I sent them packing because I ain't care, because that's how self-centered I was. See, one thing about the program of Narcotics Anonymous, it'll bring all the selfish folk in here. To change you to be such a selfless person, by the time you go through the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts, you'll be just giving yourself away to people. Because guess what? The more that I get to give away, the more that I get to keep. I understand our paradoxes in here. So, you know, Sylvia or earlier me and somebody said something about being afraid. And, you know, I didn't want to smoke coke no more. So I didn't have a choice. I had to go to meetings and sit with people that was talking about me and saying about how I abandoned my children because God needed to get my undivided attention. And he needed me to abandon everything that I said I wanted only to show me what I really needed to bring me back to my own truths. And he done that. And this is what I believe. You got to do it till you got to do it. And your sponsor can't really help you with that. And don't be fucking calling her, trying to get her to make a decision to be responsible for your life. You more or less got to make a choice to do it yourself. If you don't really want to do it, then don't do it. But don't look for somebody else to make or be responsible for a decision. And guess what? Don't change your mind till you're real ready, neither. For this addict, God didn't really do anything for me. He did stuff to me, or he did stuff for me.
Right.
And I'm sorry, just stay with me. Because until you abandon everything that you say you don't want, only to find out that it is everything that you do want, only then will you really know the power of faith and not being doubtful in your life and not having a whole bunch of fears. I believe that you got to walk away from everything that you don't want in order to get the stuff that you have. You can't be afraid to take the risk. You can't be afraid to stand up for yourself in situations and circumstances with people. Because if you don't, they'll just do what they do. Guess what? Nobody has said that you could, because basically we say you can stay with your misery as long as you like around here. But see, the only reason why I was living in that condition, and I'm going to tell you right now, is because I thought that I was the God in my life. I didn't really have to check in with nobody else. I was just checking with myself, even though all of my evidence gave me the same kind of results, but it was something very comfortable and familiar in that type of distorted pain. Our literature says that, but it's such a, it's being minimized. It's a, you know, I got stuff going on right now. You know, that was all that, whatever. But I got stuff going on right now, right? And, you know, I'm dealing with, you remember in the third step where it said, we'll give everything to God, blah, blah, we'll do blah, whatever, read the book, do that. Turn all that shit over. And then it go on and say, but you know you're going to have problems with your relationship, your money, and your kids. So you want to try to pull some of that back, but you'd be like, nah, but really you do be having problems with your relationship, your money, and your kids. And no matter how much clean time you got, no matter how close you are with God, it's still hard to turn your kids over. See, I don't have a drama story sitting on the front. You know, I don't have all that. I've kind of matured around here. I've kind of grown up. You know, I grew up. I've given up some stuff. I don't practice certain behaviors. I live a certain kind of way. But the reality of my life is still so very hard when I'm being faced to not be afraid of letting my children go and letting them go with love and care. And no matter how old they get, I guess nobody really told us that. I thought when you got 18, that was it. You would pack them up and they would step off or something. Because that's what I did. And I really just thought it was what we were supposed to do, because my mother didn't have to. I was already ready to go. And, you know, I didn't never come back and, you know, all of that stuff. But that really isn't the case now. I'm dealing with stuff with my kids that is really beyond what it is that I think I'm capable of handling. And I don't want to get in God's way with none of this. I got to be able to parent them from a place that's with a little bit of freedom and trust that God would do for them what he done for me. I don't really know how to, you got to like love a little free. You got to not have your arms around stuff that you say you love, and you got to let it leave to see if it come back. I learned that from my own experience. I don't need nobody to tell me that. I understand that holding stuff too tight, you'll kill it and it'll die. So even if they leave and they don't do exactly what it is that I want them to do, I got to trust that God will take care of them. And I'm not happy about some of their choices right now. I'm not. And for real, and you know, my partner talks about it, if they was addicts like the fuck the way I was, they is in trouble. They in trouble already. It's not going to work out. But the faith in that is that I don't have to look at them like they're going to be like me, and I could turn them over much earlier than my mother turned me over. And I don't really have to be afraid of letting them go and find their way. I could just kind of do that. You know, this is probably not really exciting, and I could care less, but this is where I'm at right now. And I really need to be able to, with my good time and God and my life and my steps, principles, and traditions, you know, the people that I sponsor, I need to be able to talk about where I'm at and the pain that I'm in and the things that I have to constantly turn over a day at a time. That probably doesn't really sound so exciting to anybody, but guess what? I have to be able to do that without a hitch on any given day. And what helps me do that is my faith in the God that I've come to understand. I don't play with that. It's like a rhymey, topic-y kind of shit. But guess what? It's a little bit more serious than that for me. It just is. And I don't really take the relationship that lightly. I have to be able to still nurture it. And I need to be able to hear what God is asking me to do. And when I don't get no answers, I gotta chill the fuck out. See, y'all, I don't know if y'all heard me. Like, when you don't really get, like, the thing that you need from God, you got to kind of step back and wait and watch and listen. You'll learn to perfect that newcomer after getting dragged around a lot of times. Because it just seems like the people with time are less visible and vulnerable these days. And, you know, like, I'm having a hard time because in order for me to stay clean, I don't have a lot of drama in my life. And I'm learning how to live with the peace and serenity that I work so hard for. You can talk all that shit, you'll get your harvest. It's going to happen. Your life will become fulfilled and everything will turn out. You can't see it, but you got to keep moving forward. It'll happen. The chaos will stop. You'll stop suffering. But let me tell you something. You got to learn how to live with all this stuff. And you got to not violate it a day at a time with your shit. See, on any given day, I can violate my own peace just because I'm not comfortable with having it or living with it. Now, we spend all this time having conventions. This person, I'm sorry. You know, all these fucking topics that keep us all trapped in the fucking loop. But there is some hope. And you do get to get beyond some stuff when you want to stop struggling with God. You will get beyond some stuff. But you got to be willing to do that. Sponsors can't really help you with willingness. You just going to have to suffer till you stop. I mean, you know, like it'll really be up to you if you don't want to, you know, like a sponsor can give you all her experience or whatever, but it doesn't really matter until you're ready to stop suffering. And you can talk about her in the midst of all of that long as you want, because guess what? She has her experience. That's why the fuck she ain't suffering. And if you, and you know what? If you in the midst of something and you can't find your way out, you got to trust what the lady said earlier today, that the person that you ask to see the stuff about you that you can't see, it's too important. Don't be getting all mad. Don't get all mad because you ask somebody to look, watch, and follow you. You understand what I'm saying? It kind of prevents some of the heartache that happens in the road to recovery, because it's a lot of heartache here, and it's a lot of lost love, and it's a lot of hurt. It's a lot of pain. It's a lot of suffering here. It's all of that shit. And guess what? The more time you get, the more you can critique it. So nobody can't really see it in your life, because you can sponsor a whole lot of people and they're all thriving off of your need to be needed. And then you can help them get their lives better, and then you at a certain place of suffering. I'm only saying it like that because that's exactly where I was at. I don't gotta say nothing about nobody else's story. I can tell you my own. And at one point in my recovery, I felt like I was doing my sponsees a disservice, because for real, I wasn't helping them. I was helping me. I didn't really give them anything. It was what they were giving me, because that's how selfish I still was. But I was just acting like I really fucking wasn't. And, you know, but now I sponsor from a much more serious and much more intimate place today, because I know what it's like to have somebody who believes in you and wants to help you in recovery. I understand that fully. I don't really play with that relationship. I might do some other shit, but I ain't really going to mess with that relationship. And I've had good relationships, and I've sponsored people for most of their recovery. And, you know, these are solid women that are in my life. And, you know, some of them are in my support group, but some of them aren't. That's just the way it go. But I'm saying all that to say that if you've been here for a while, you can't afford to still allow yourself to be vulnerable to the newer member just because you have time. The newer member need to see that we still suffer from the disease of addiction. And that on any given day, I might need the newcomer to tell me something that I might have told them 15 years ago or 5 months ago. And they heard me and they listened to what I said. Well, on this day, I might need it back. I can't afford to not have myself in that position to get it. So if I'm suffering, I'm sitting up front, I'm crying, I'm raising my hand, I'm saying all the stuff that I need to say. You know, my partner is dealing with a lot of health issues right now, and I'm like, I got some old issues about it. I'm afraid, you know, but guess what? I know that God loves her. And it's so ironic, because the age that she is, I won't tell you how much older I am than her, but the age that she is was the same age as when I had my aneurysm. And, you know, all the stuff that happened to me from that and what God took from me. And, you know, but what he replaced it with was something much more vital than anybody would ever understand. And I didn't lose much of nothing but a whole bunch of insanity and chaos in my life. And what he replaced it with was a bigger heart and a bigger spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
He did do that for me. So I ain't complaining. I'm not. You can complain all you want, but I'm not messing with God like that. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm helping the people the right way that I'm supposed to be helping them. And I'm not making a mockery of this program, and I'm not using it to get the illness, keep that illness in me. It's just not fair to the newer member. And sometimes, and almost all the time, it's not fair to the older member. Because for real, you get away with nothing in here. You go home and you sleep with whatever you done that day. Remember before when you just cared about having a little bit of bread in the house and you can make a sandwich, you know? had a little outfit, get some sandals, you had a couple of dollars to catch the bus to the meeting. That was it. Wasn't nothing bigger than that. Then you start acquiring all of this, and now you have business. You've done all of these things with your life. You're new and improved. You've taken on these sponsors. And now all of a sudden you've become at a different place. I'm telling you this because this was my story. And I lived in so much fear and doubt, and I had no faith that God would take care of me. And I had no faith that, and guess what? It had dawned on me one day. You know how God do in an intuitive manner. He drops stuff in your spirit to see it. He'd be like, oh, shit. That's what it's saying, the It Works How and Why. It just kind of comes up. So something just came up to me and said, well, you know, you never really talk about God. Well, why was I when I was God? I wasn't going to never talk about God because I didn't really see it as being nothing else. I had no clear separation. I had, and guess what? My whole life has so much noise in it and so much chaos and so much insanity that when I had that brain aneurysm, God shut my whole life down. Sit. Sweetie, sit still. You know why? Because I wasn't paying attention. See, it's something about fear and doubt. You get to hear it for a long time before you respond to it in an appropriate manner. And the appropriate manner is to turn to God and not things outside of you.
Yes.
See, when I'm feeling like that, I want to pour something in to put a cut on where I'm at, and I won't really reach for the thing in me that represents and to quell that thing. I'll go and get a candy bar shop, you know, something, and I never look at me. But for real, it's been with me all along. I just don't know how to get to it. And I constantly run off the fear and the doubt and the confusion and all of the contradiction and the struggling and this and that. And I've never tapped into my own bill and my own bank of faith. I got one. Y'all had deposited so much in me, I was too afraid to use it because I didn't want nobody to think that I was had arrived or some shit. I was too afraid to use what y'all had gave me, but it's the very thing that I was supposed to do anyway. Now, doesn't that really sound insane? I thought of a lot of stuff, but, you know, I can't be getting all caught up in all this old shit. I just really want to be me. It ain't all that loud no more. It's just regular, you know. I still go to bed at 10 o'clock. And, you know, I get up at 5 and I commute to work and I pay my bills. You know, it's just so quiet. It's not really nothing going on. I'm learning how to let God be God. I'm not trying to get in his way. I don't control nothing, and I don't possess anything that I have. I gotta stay in some type of humbled place in order to survive my reality. I can't fix my girl, like whatever's going on with her. You know, I can't fix my son because he smoke. I can't do none of this stuff. I just kind of got to turn these things over and know that God would do for them like they done for me. But what I'm not today is caught up in a whole bunch of doubt and fear. I ain't that. And we going to stop creating these situations where, I ain't scared. No, I'm not scared today.
Yeah.
And when I do feel like I'm afraid, I got something to turn to that's a shadow of a doubt for sure that'll work.
That's right.
I'll be like, I'm in it straight to God. Remember before you go to God like 7 months down the road? You're like, what the fuck? You never even went to God. You had God. He had introduced you way back in 3, but you never even thought to call on him for all that suffering you was doing. I don't have the luxury after 18 years of behaving like that. I kind of almost have to go to God immediately to be able to survive my reality because I'm still the same girl that'll go to jail and fight and I'm still the same person, and of myself, I don't have the ability for my life to be going as smooth as it is. I'm totally in over my head. I really am. My boy said that, and he's right. I'm in over my head. I go to work every day. I pay my bills. I do all the stuff that I'm supposed to do, and this is not of me because I'm still the girl of like a little chaos, a little insanity from time to time. you know, be able to create little situations. You know, I don't want to have to rely on God. I want to go to work, not the day after payday, but all the rest of the days. I'm still the same person. This is why I keep going through the steps, because I still get to see the reason why I'm here. And the second step always reminds me why I still come to meetings a few times a week, why I still do everything that I do, because I'm still the same suffering addict. But with all of this information, I'm farther away from her. But I still can't be her without the God of my understanding. And it's the most important relationship that I have. And guess what? When I first came here, I was God, and today I have one. And I have one that I'm constantly in contact with, and I'm working on talking with him, being in his presence with my still time and driving and being in silence. I do all of that stuff to nurture my relationship with God, because I don't want to go back to what I see as the obsession in this program, which is fear and doubt and lack of acceptance and all that old, you know, that shit that you all, and you so important, you only thinking about yourself kind of stuff. Like, it's just all about you. And, you know, that right there, that level of obsession and just being all mixed up, that's too much for me. That's too much. I can't take all that. So I do the necessary things. What I'm saying is, old timer, that our maintenance has become the most important thing to me. When you knew you still got a little bit of leg room, you still got a little bit of room to kind of kick out a little bit. You know, you still got a little bit of room to kind of mess up and don't do what your sponsors say and all that shit. But then you start acquiring principles and living a particular kind of way, you're kind of held responsible for your knowledge and understanding. My awareness isn't going to keep me clean. I need the application of this program to work in my life. So that's not going to really matter to me, oh, I'm so aware. No, I'm aware, but I'm not doing anything. So what does that do to my awareness? That it kills it. So I have to practice what it is that I know. And you need God for that. You can't do that on your own. Come on. I don't want to bore you or whatever, but this is like good for me. You need God to be able to live this program. I'm sorry. I don't really know how nobody can really do it without him. Like, creator, higher power, whoever y'all want to call it, y'all need the driving force in a positive way to keep you sane, keep you grounded, keep you out of the doubt and the fear, and kind of spend a little bit more time in the faith that you're being cared for and be able to live your life a day at a time. Thanks for letting me share.